And our special guest this hour, Starfire Tour. And when we come back, we'll talk more about these time shifts and time slips on Coast to Coast AM. With all of this, the unified theory of psi seems to be important, Starfire. How come? What is it?
Well, the unified field theory of psi is actually the source reason for the working mechanism of all psi-related phenomenon, including my own discoveries into time shifts and the core matrix and coexisting timelines and everything, paranormal, all worlds, all dimensions, dreaming, even psychic dreaming, enigmas, mysteries, ghosts, hauntings, time travel, all of that.
It's there.
It's there.
Time shift, time slip, very similar, aren't they?
They are, but a time shift is actually the source mechanism that creates the time slip. And a time shift is really just an astounding phenomenon, you know, as I said, in which our perceived reality and the timelines are just constantly being restructured. We actually see this all the time, as I mentioned, in synchronicities and time prompts and even a phenomenon that I call the time shift living dead. This happens to people who notice that, and they're sure that a certain person has died.
They feel it. They know it.
Well, yeah. Because they have a memory marker of that person dying. They read it in the paper. They saw it on the news. They went to the funeral. And then all of a sudden, that person's quite alive.
So far.
Well, and then the opposite can happen. Somebody, you know, could be known to be alive, and suddenly he's no longer in your world, and you discover he died years ago or she died years ago. I mean, you have to investigate something like that. It is actually a worldwide phenomenon. And so that's part of what that's one of the clues. And so I follow these clues. I want to know, what is that? How does that happen? Is that even real? What's going on? And what else is it connected to? And that's what I've been doing for years, researching this.
How many people are experiencing this?
Everyone experiences time shifts. They just may not remember them. Because time shifts are the editing of our timeline. It is as if you have written a book, all right? And now you want to save that book, and you save it to your hard drive on your computer. Well, the equivalent of the hard drive in this scenario, I call the core matrix. I used to call it the matrix. Then the movie The Matrix came out, and I found I needed to have a little bit of a distance to it. So I called it the core matrix. And now you want to make some changes in your book. So you pull up your original copy. You make a copy of the original because you don't want to change the original. You want to preserve that.
Right.
So now you have a copy and you make some changes. You save that. Okay, then you come back again and you want to keep your second copy. You make a third copy and you make changes on that. Now, all three of these scripts are saved on your hard drive, but only one is going to come to life as a book or film or something of that. And in essence, that's the way the time shifts and the core matrix work in relationship to each other. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until people got very into computers and so many people had them in their homes that I could even explain what time shifts and the core matrix was.
Who controls that? Who alters it? Do we do this?
People in and of themselves cannot create time shifts. That seems to be a mechanism of change which is reserved to some sort of other control feature other than the human brain. The human brain is simply the interface to the core matrix and access sort of a biological software program. And it's through our brains that the timeline program is carried out. So when there's a time shift and the timeline is edited, like the book that I spoke of, there is a program inside of the streaming data that causes our brains to become assimilated to the newly structured timeline, the coexisting timeline, and we don't remember that there's been a change. except for these glitches that I mentioned, synchronicities, time prompts, dreaming.
What is this? Let's say you're at home and you're slicing an onion, okay? And you get this visualization that you've slit your finger. As horrible as that sounds. But you picture that. All of a sudden, you slowly ease up on what you're doing. Maybe you pull your fingers back a little bit. You keep cutting that onion and you're fine. Did you see this happen in the future? Maybe you did cut your finger. Maybe you sliced it badly. Or is this just some way of the body trying to fix things?
Well, that's a great example. Utilizing your scenario, what has probably happened is you have experienced in a coexisting timeline, cutting the onions, cutting your finger. And now your brain has retained a prompt, a memory of that moment, and it comes into your brain like a deja vu or a vision, and you utilize this prompt, and you don't cut your finger.
Right. You visualize you would have, and you change it. You alter it.
Right. So that is where the psychic experience is coming from, being in touch with yourself and your own program in other coexisting timelines. And coexisting timelines are not actually parallel worlds. These are changes in frequencies, just like a radio broadcast. You have one box, a radio that can pull in any number of radio stations, but depending on what you tune into, the frequency that you tune into tells you what station you're going to be able to see or hear or perceive through that little box. And that's how our brains work. So in your dominant timeline, when you're starting to cut the angels, your brain has a prompt. You remembered that you cut your finger and you were smart enough to listen to yourself and stop the progress of the scene. You altered, you saved yourself some blood.
Could we be altering time that way?
We are. These are called reality shifts. This is a slightly different thing because it's a phenomenon where localized changes in the current dominant timeline are experienced.
Now, explain that.
Well, sometimes a reality shift can happen because it's a symptom of a time shift, but reality shifts occur all the time right inside of our timeline without the timeline actually being changed. Everybody reality shifts. We do it all the time, unconsciously, consciously. It can be done through prayer. It can be done through intent or desire or the example that you just gave with the onion.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. So we have changed. We have shifted our localized reality. It's okay. But so I didn't discover reality shifts. What I did is I discovered time shifts in the core matrix. But what I did was I discovered how reality shift works and their relationship to unified field theory of psi. And then I was able to create scientific protocols that I could call up a reality shift at will by following the scientific protocols, and I've been teaching it for years on my interdimension list.
Where does intuition, where does premonition fit into all of this?
I would say that intuition and premonition are also part of the interface with the core matrix and coexisting timelines and our relationship to each other. Let's not forget the soul. That's also a very important thing here. The brain isn't the only thing that's functioning within these scenarios.
Probably the least of the things that's functioning.
Well, it's a very important thing. The brain should not be underestimated. It is the portal. It is the interface.
But it works without the brain, right? If we were dead, wouldn't we still have these spiritual abilities?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
The shifting, the reality shift, the time shifts, the time slips. Does it seem to be happening more now than before?
First, I believe that more people are noticing them. So there is an appearance that more of them are happening. But on the other hand, I've been doing this research for a very long time, and I can tell you that I believe that more are happening. As a matter of fact, I often call it a time wars, where different factions appear to be altering events for some goal that they have. And so there'd be time shift after time shift after time shift, and these events are happening fast. And, more of them are happening.
And what's the future hold? More will happen?
Always.
How can people use this in their everyday life to make things a little simpler for themselves?
Well, as I said, I do teach reality shift protocols, but I also teach morals, ethics, and wisdom to go along with it.
Why do you need that?
It's a power. Anything that you can utilize that alters reality is a power. And power is only as good as the person wielding it. I think we all good people know that. So I have to make sure that when I teach this, that I drive home that morals and ethics are extremely important. Now, recently, I did a demonstration of how one can utilize a reality shift to benefit the whole. Now, you can use it to benefit yourself personally. There's nothing wrong with that, providing, again, you put in the ethics and the morals. So, you know, we had these fires in California.
Oh, disaster.
And
arson, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And terrible conditions, and there was a hurricane down heading toward Baja, and no rain was expected. This was known by the public. It was very in the consciousness. So I decided to let the public know that my interdimension list was going to use my protocols to raise the humidity and create some moisture, create some rain, hopefully to assist our very capable and brave fire department. And that's what happened. I announced it, I think, on Facebook on August the 31st, and I said when this was going to happen. It was all timed out on my interdimension list, and it happened. I changed reality for the better.
Does this happen in dream states as well, Starfire?
Yes. Oh, absolutely, because the actual secret of dreaming, why does the brain dream? Once you are in sleep mode or meditation mode and the body is put to sleep and the brain no longer has to deal with its major things except for breathing and staying alive, the brain interface is now accessing the core matrix, streaming data, all sorts of things. So depending on your genetics or your training, your dreaming brain is either just going to pick up samples of streaming data, which is why dreams are so awkward and you have jump cuts between scenes and things seem a little bit crazy. But then there are some people like myself and many others who actually have dreams that show us whole pictures of what's happening in, it seems to be, the future. The information is actually coming from the streaming data, from the core matrix, usually events that are happening in coexisting timelines. So although it appears that we are dreaming the future, we are actually picking up what I call side data download. Again, there's those computer terms I love to use, the side data download through the brain interface. And it's happening already. It's already happening. I am viewing what is happening in a coexisting timeline, but has not yet happened in the dominant timeline in which I'm dreaming. It's also why I call things time shifts. These coexisting timelines do not remain in the same, they're not lined up via time. So one coexisting timeline can appear to be our past. One timeline can appear to be the future or near the same. So, for example, I psychically dreamed 9/11. And I publicly wrote a very long thing about it. You can read it on my website under my OBE Astral Dream Future Event section.
How far in advance before it happened?
A day. A day.
Okay.
One day.
Why can't we dream much earlier on than that?
I was. I was actually involved in some research, and I was, and this is documented on my interdimension list. I was receiving a lot of information, many prompts of information, many synchronicities, that led me to be able to understand what that final terrible astral OBE dream was all about. It haunted me. In fact,
are you still having these?
I always do. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't have all these things.
Have you been able to determine what they are now? Because so many people, Starfire, have these dreams. They have this ability, but they can't pinpoint what or where.
For me, this is always a work in progress. On my interdimension lift, I created something called the Dream Team. And so I look for other psychics that can either envision or dream even a piece of a future event. Because one person may dream a small part of the puzzle, another will dream another piece of the puzzle. And the more people that I can have with input into the same event, the more information I can have. My goal is to save lives. My goal is to utilize this to help individual people and group people without interfering with their belief systems. I just want to help.
Do you think time travelers are shifting back and forth this way through time shifts?
I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure of it.
And maybe in the future that's what they develop.
Well, you know, the way that I look at time travel is at some point in time, somebody created the perfected way to travel through these frequencies and move from coexisting timeline to coexisting timeline. So therefore, time travelers are here now. Has to be logical.
I was going to say, if someone came up to you and says they were a time traveler, would you or could you believe them?
I've had that happen a number of times. Most of the time, these are people who, in my own personal opinion, were not what I would consider bona fide time travelers. In other words, people who actually move through time.
Physically
move through. I have my ways of judging this, but I have met a few people in my time who demonstrated certain abilities, said they were point blank time travelers, and to this day, I believe there's a great possibility that I may have actually met the real thing.
Have you heard of the John Titor time traveling story?
I have.
What do you think of that? Is it possible that somebody from 2036 came back here? I guess he's gone now. But...
Well, you're asking two different questions. One is about John Titor and his claims, and the other one is whether somebody from another future timeline can move here. So the first thing I want to say is that when, according to the unified field theory of psi, when you move in time, you're not moving back and forth in the timeline from which you departed. You're actually altering frequencies, and you are now in a coexisting timeline. So someone is not in our future or our past. They're in a coexisting timeline, future and past. So yes, someone is probably in any number of years that are from the future of our dominant timeline, and they're coming to visit us. However, when I did read everything that I could find about John Titor, it didn't resonate with me. I didn't find personally, for myself, anything in what he was saying that passed my litmus test. So that's all I can say.
Good for you. Starfire website, what is it?
It's starfiretour.com.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to take phone calls with you. Maybe time shift questions, maybe events that have changed people's lives with our special guest, Starfire Tour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com as well. Split program tonight. So following after Starfire Tour, next hour, Real Vampires, Night Stalkers, and Creatures from the Dark Side with none other than Brad Steiger. But we'll be back with your phone calls with Starfire Tour. Hey, do you have After Dark? Great magazine. You can by calling 1-888-727-5505, or you can order it online at coasttocoastam.com. Comes out every month. Full-color magazine, part of Coast to Coast AM. It's called After Dark. Okay, we've got phone calls now. Starfire Tor, our very special guest, and your questions. By the way, Starfire, we just think the world of Brandon, by the way, here. He's a great guy. I've been to a show at the Magic Castle, and just one heck of an individual. Loves UFOs, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's great, and he's fearless, and he and I have had some tremendous adventures in high strangeness together.
Perfect. You ready for some calls?
Yes.
They'll go by fast. First-time caller, we've got Lisa. Where are you calling from, Lisa?
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
There you go. Take it away.
Hi, Starfire. Thank you very much. I remember the books of Marion Zimmer Bradley, the Darkover series, and you're describing the harnessing of the psionic power in multiple people to accomplish amazing things. That's what she wrote about, I guess, in her Darkover series, and that's what in the real world, that's what it reminds me of, what you're describing. I really like that. I had a question for you as well. When you're talking about time travel, there's the concept. Well, first of all, you said that there have been a number of time travelers already to date. How do you account for avoiding the classic paradox problem of running into your grandfather or effectively changing the future by going in the past?
Okay, well, number one, I've never read those books, but I'll look into them. Thank you for telling me. As far as the grandfather paradox, there is none. There is none.
Tell me.
No. The grandfather paradox does not occur because when you move backward or forward in time, you're not moving backward and forward in the same timeline. You automatically change frequencies, and you're in a coexisting timeline. Another grandfather, another event, another situation. No grandfather paradox.
Parallel timelines, parallel universes. Is it a different reality, or still our reality?
It's called a coexisting timeline. And if that timeline should become dominant, it'll be however that timeline was altered by the invasion of travelers. No grandfather paradox.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Ironically, my editorial in this coming months After Dark magazine is about time travel, and I talk about the original Time Machine movie, H.G. Wells. And
I love that.
Yeah, it's one of the best. Do you think there are time machines out here somewhere, tucked away?
I think there have to be. There have got to be some sort of mechanism that can alter time. If our brains can do it and interface, then there have to be these machines. How well they do it, I don't know. Whether or not they need to be interfaced themselves with a human being or, with the brains, the interface, I don't know that either. But, I'm quite confident that these machines exist.
They're out there somewhere. Wonder
Absolutely.
What they look like.
Good question.
It doesn't matter. They could be large, small, sit down, who knows, huh?
It could be something that a person goes in or something that a person holds. There are any number of things that strike my mind as what they could be.
Let's go to David in Gainesville, Florida, east of the Rockies. Good morning, David. Go ahead. David?
Hi, Starfire. I'm glad to talk to y'all. It's a first-time call for me.
Good thing.
My call is about I dream a lot about flying. Well, I did up to 4 months ago. And I fly everywhere, and I fly through trees and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And last time I flew, I was hovering over downtown Gainesville, and I had something jump on my back while I was flying.
Jeez.
And ride me, and I could feel the whole anatomy of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was male. And it just freaked me out, and I haven't flown since, and that's been 4 months. And I used to fly at least once a week.
Awesome. What could that have been?
Well, you know what? I fly in my dreams all the time. It's called astral travel. It's great, and it's a wonderful thing to have happen. It sounds like what you encountered was a lower astral entity, and if you didn't see it, it could have even been a shadow person.
That literally wanted a free ride.
Yeah, that just it was attracted to your life force. So what you need to do, and what I advise everyone to do before they go to sleep, before they go into meditation, or before they go into reality shift work, even prayer, is you have to protect yourself by creating a personal mental force field that tells these creatures, get lost. just, I am not for you. In fact, I write something about that on my website, about these lower astral entities, even the ones that pose as extraterrestrials.
Sylvan Muldoon, Haywood Carrington, some of the original writers and researchers of astral projection, they wrote in Projections of the Astral Body that there are these different planes of existence in the astral world, and that there are some entities out there that you don't want to hang around with.
That's true.
Yeah, and maybe that's what he's got.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to Kirsten, Washington State, west of the Rockies. Hey, Kirsten.
Hey, good evening to both of you.
Sure.
And I'd like to say, Starfire, that I'm a fellow experiencer from childhood on, and have been living most of my life over the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And when I was making an effort to call in, I finally got through naturally. I was thinking that I was going to tell you about the time glitches I've experienced with what you called, as I lost my call the first time. The living dead, was it? Or the
time shift living dead phenomena.
These are the ones I've experienced. Three of them, all of them with movie stars.
Right.
And it's been astounding, absolutely astounding. And in two of the instances, it was newspaper articles.
Right. Can you tell me the names of which
ones? The first one was Joseph Cotton.
Yes, okay.
The second one was Greer Garson.
Okay.
And the third was Ernie Borgnine.
Okay. Ernie Borgnine is he alive or dead?
I think he's still alive.
The last I heard, he was living, and it shocked me.
Yeah, he's
right.
Still alive.
I shouldn't have been, but I still was.
Okay. Well, just for the people listening, they wonder, well, how come on your list of time shift living dead, Starfire, most of the people are well known? The reason for that is that the time shift living dead phenomenon happens with everybody. But more people are focused on a single celebrity than, say, your neighbor down the road. So more people are focused and following what one single celebrity is doing, so that when that individual has a time shift living dead event happen to them, more people are going to notice the glitch in the timeline. And that's what happened to you.
Okay, next up we go to Brent in Evansville, Indiana. Hey, Brent, good morning.
Good morning. I actually have a question for you, Starfire. There was a call on Coast to Coast. This has been years ago. Art Bell was on. And a lady talked about gaining time. You talk about time slips and things like that. She was a driver, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but a trip was supposed to take so long, and there was no way for it to be shortened. She couldn't, you know.
Right.
But she got there in an ungodly short, like she gained an hour or two, and there was no time difference or anything like that. And she talked about gaining time, and apparently it's kind of common among long drivers.
This phenomenon is, I have hundreds and hundreds of examples of that very thing in my time shift research. Moving through from one town to another where you know how long it takes, even if you're speeding. Even if you're speeding and you get there in an unbelievably short amount of time, or a trip that's 20 minutes takes you 3 hours.
Yeah, that too. Some people claim they've been abducted.
Right. Well, it's not always an abduction. Sometimes it's just the brain not being calibrated to understand that a time shift has occurred, the timeline has altered, and when they come back, when their brain comes back online, they are disoriented time-wise. But that's not always the answer. That's just one of them.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, next up, we go to Houston, Texas. Jim, it's your turn.
Hi, Starfire. This is Jim. Are you familiar with a device called an arctometer?
No.
An arctometer is a device that you see on Indian petroglyphs out in the western United States. And there's always a guy in these petroglyphs that looks like he's holding a barbell. And what it does is if you spin it, it allows you to change dimensions that you're in.
How do you know that?
I know it. I know what it is because I've read a number of books about it. And we've attempted to build one, and I don't think it was exactly successful. Have you ever read the book Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East?
No.
It's an excellent text, and it teaches you how you can be at two places at once, and it works. I've done it.
Well, I'll take a look at those petroglyphs and see if I can find out what it is you're so excited about.
What do you think of doppelgangers, Starfire?
A doppelganger has a number of origins. One of them is a coexisting timeline glitch, where a person who already exists in one timeline is now cloned, appears to be cloned. That's just a program glitch. Have you ever had a videotape in those old videotape days, and you wanted to re-record over something, but there was a bleed through of some of the previously recorded program? So instead of just having one show recorded, you're seeing a sort of a faint ghost mm-hmm. of the other one. That's, in some cases, how hauntings work, how doppelgangers appear. Oh, my goodness. It's such a deep, deep topic, George, that it would take an entire program to talk about doppelgangers.
Let's go to Cleveland. Sandra, it's your turn.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I was wondering, Starfire, have you heard of these time shift experiences being prolonged? I had that situation watching television, and, you know, this was twice in less than a year, a prominent personality passing on, but it was a big national type of thing. I mean, these were big, well-known people, mm-hmm. and there were newsreels going on all week long, and I remember commenting to my mother, you know, enough is enough, you know, when are they going to stop this? And she's since passed, but she was kind of my witness, and in both cases, these people were still alive sometime later. A few months later, I found out they were alive. Also, though, I had a personal experience, several personal experiences in that regard. These famous people experiences were just a couple of years ago. The personal ones were around 2001, 2002. I'm a professional clairvoyant and astrologer. I was doing readings at a little bookstore, and probably a good six times over about 3 months, someone would come in for a half-hour appointment for a reading, and I would recognize them, and I'd say, oh, wow, you're back so soon. You know, what's mm-hmm. going? And they'd say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. They were dressed differently than I remembered them. I knew that that's who they are. It was the same name and everything.
Sure.
They'd sit down. I'd do the reading. The reading, everything I was getting psychically for the reading was very similar to the prior reading, and I would stop several times in the half hour and say, you know, I'm sorry. I know I'm telling you the same thing I told you before, but this is what's coming through. And they kept looking at me funny, and they'd still swear, you know, that they hadn't seen me before. But one lady finally said, lady, I have never, ever met you before. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the first one is, of course, a time shift, living dead, and you have memory markers of those deaths, which is very important to have. Those are the prompts that tells you that something has altered in the timeline. Okay?
Okay.
And the second one is when you have an experience where you have someone that you're supposed to be seeing for the first time, but you have a memory of seeing it before. It's the same phenomenon, just another arm of the phenomenon, and that is you have a memory marker of a coexisting timeline. This is telling you that there's been a change in the timeline, but your memory remains. I call this coexisting timeline conflict.
I was even doing a psychic reading, tuning in on them, and that's the weird part, getting information in this way. I was also wondering if you've heard of Dr. Bruce Goldberg, who's been on Coast to Coast.
Of course.
And he does this, he has a book called Custom Design Your Destiny or something, where he does this process. He feels that everybody has, say, five basic major different timelines of their life, and he, I guess, hypnotizes you and asks you to choose your best timeline or best line of reality for your life, whatever you would like, and then he kind of locks you into it and you live it out. Are you familiar with anything like that?
I don't know that particular book of his. I've read his Astral Voyages. I guess that Dr. Goldberg is doing some sort of variation on a reality shift, and I'll have to look in to see what he's doing.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, very. Yeah, he's got one out called Exploring the Fifth Dimension, Parallel Universes. What do you think of 2012? What do you think will happen?
I think that 2012 is a major time prompt. It has to do with time and the changing of time and events. And I think that it's, you know, I'm looking at it from my point of view. So I'm seeing that this is about time shifting. I'm seeing that this is about an awareness of people having personal shifts, which is their memory, with the amnesia going off and the memory going on and being able to do something positive to create our world into a better one. It may be a time prompt that has to do with disaster and probably one that we can avoid.
Let's go to Montreal in Canada. Hello, Daniel. Go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
And Starfire. My experience has to do, I don't know, I wasn't aware of the list that existed, but it was Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
In fact, my daughter actually did a research paper on apartheid and found textbooks talking about his death.
Really?
And
Does she still have those textbooks?
Right. I mean, she did a paper in school and researched it. Now, when we heard he was out of our mind, we heard he was exiting prison, that meant that actually these textbooks had to be rewritten in our reality.
Right.
So
Nelson,
I have a hard time wrapping my head around it.
Right, right. Nelson is, I will confirm, a time shift living dead person. This is also documented on my interdimensional list. There are so many people who actually have memory markers of his dying that they just don't know what to do with the fact that there he is. But now that you're hearing about the time shift living dead and my research, your brain can start to understand that there is a science behind what you're experiencing.
Well, may I ask, particularly Nelson Mandela, for instance, did so much inspirational impact when he was released from prison. Would he have been chosen? Would this have been chosen to have been changed? And if that is so, why particularly him and not other horrendous events that have happened in our history?
That's a great question.
And are we being manipulated so deliberately?
Right. You know? That's a great question. From my own research, it appears to me that individual people who are time shift living dead people are not chosen as part of the event. It's sort of like when you change an event that in a time shift, it's like moving a grain of sand on the beach. Somewhere down the road, there's a ripple effect, and other things that are very far away from the actual changed event themselves are going to change. So Nelson was one of those unintended factor changes. He himself was not the target. However, you know, when these timelines change, of course they affect us. Of course we want tremendously positive people who make positive things happen in the world to live as long as possible. So the fact that he's a time shift living dead and he's alive, you know, to me, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Starfire, thank you so much for being on the program. Our website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com with a floating format tonight. My next guest, Real Vampires, Brad Steiger on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back.